I'm going to pray for us. Father, in this holy moment, as we have just sat through and heard the passion of our Savior, how I pray that you would bring your Holy Spirit among us to help us understand these events, help us see the things you long for us to see. And so we come now with open hearts, open hands to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come lead us, guide us through this glorious truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's hard to sit through that, isn't it? But it's a great preparation as we enter into Holy Week today, as we begin to set our eyes as Jesus did toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, and then as people on the other side of the cross, we set our eyes to the hope of the resurrection. This morning, we're going to look at just one verse from the narrative that was read in Mark's gospel when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're about to wind up, and we'll finish it next Sunday, this journey that we have been on, following the course of the life of Jesus during his public ministry. Many of you, with me and others, have been reading the book that I recommended, The Way of the Lord by N.T. Wright, that leads us through these specific times and places of the journey of Jesus, that what we see through that is that his journey is our journey. What Jesus went through is what you and I go through. And so this morning we come to that place that most of us fear going to, the Garden of Gethsemane. And what I believe this shows us today, the Garden of Gethsemane reflects for us today the call of surrender. The life of a follower of Jesus is a life of surrender. We see that in this passage, that Jesus wrestled with the reality of surrendering to his Father's will, but he surrendered nonetheless. Two things we're going to look at briefly are this. First, the challenge of surrender. You've already heard it. We're going to look more deeply at it. The challenge of surrender. And then secondly, how we, as followers of Jesus, how do we grow living lives of surrender daily to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's called us to? So I want to first take us to this idea of the challenge of surrender. Listen again to the words of Jesus in this most intimate prayer to his Father. This is from Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He cries out, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. I think this is one of the most incredible statements that Jesus makes during his ministry, at least that we have recorded for us. Because in this intimate prayer, he cries out to his Father in heaven, acknowledging that all things are possible for him. But he says, take this cup away from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. What I want you to see this morning is that Jesus understands the great challenge of surrender. Surrendering didn't come easy to him in this moment, and I want you to see that surrender doesn't come easy for you and me either. We've got to be real in this morning, because he knew what was before him. No, he had not experienced what he was about to experience, but he knew what this cup represented when he said, take this cup away from me. This cup signifies the outpouring judgment of God. It's a symbol that we see in the Old Testament. In a number of the prophets, they mention this cup. It signifies the wrath of God. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way in Jeremiah 25, verses 15 through 17. Thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. I want you to feel the weight of what's going on here. Jesus knew this passage well. And Jesus knew the cup he was about to drink was the cup of God's wrath. Friends, it was the cup that was due for you and me to drink because of our sin. Yet Jesus, the sinless Savior, knew that the only way that you and I could experience new life, the only way that you and I could be set free from our sin, the only way that you and I could be reconciled to God was for Him to do what? Was for Him to drink the cup on our behalf. He knew that He was called to drink that cup, but I believe in this scene He couldn't imagine what was about to take place. Do you begin to feel the intensity of the moment? Can you begin to feel the intensity of what Jesus Himself was about to experience? The thought of having to drink that cup and experiencing God's wrath. I'm sure the challenge going on in His mind was this: am I going to do what my Father's called me to do, right? Am I going to drink that cup? Or is there another way, right? God, could there be another way? Let me ask you this morning, how many times have you said those words? Is there another way? Do I really have to go through this? Do I really have to go through this journey of difficulty that you've led me down? Or is there another way? Do I really have to endure this pain and suffering that I'm about to go through, God? Or is there another way? Have you said those words before? Have you cried out to God in that way before? I will tell you, if you haven't, you will. Because, friends, our journey is the journey of Jesus. His journey is our journey. We will all walk in that path as we seek to follow Him. But Jesus comes to say those powerful words, "Not what I want, but what You want. Father, not my will, but Your will." Friends, I want you to hear this morning, those words represent the very call of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, as hard as this is our call, as it was His, to live a life of surrender, where we come by His grace and say, "Not my will, but Your will be done." You see, the way of Gethsemane is the way of a surrendered life to God. So I've got to be real honest with you. When I was working on this sermon the other day, I was sitting at my desk, and I was writing this out and praying, and all of a sudden, I just kind of heard the Lord nudge me and say, "You're going to ask me what you ought to surrender to?" And I thought, well, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? I mean, if I'm calling you all to live a life of surrender, that I would at least go before the Lord in prayer and say, "Where are You calling me to surrender?" So I began with those words. I kind of pushed away, and I began to pray, and I said, "God, where are You calling me to surrender?" And I will be honest, in that very moment, I wanted to just stop. It's kind of like, have you ever prayed for patience? You know that? You know, we say, "Oh, I'm going to pray for patience." Well, God's going to do something to develop patience that's not necessarily going to be fun. Well, I experienced that literal turmoil as I began to pray to God. And I began to say, "Okay, God, if I'm honest, I'm terrified when I pray, God, where are You calling me to surrender?" Terrified because what is He going to call me to go through, right? What might He call me to go through? What might He call me to give up that I don't want to give up, right? That's the challenge of the struggle of surrender. I would gather you know that as well as I do. But what I want you to see this morning is Jesus knew it all too well. And I want you to recognize this, because Jesus knew the struggle of surrender. What we see in this passage is His utter vulnerability, right? Look how vulnerable He was. "Father, not my will. You know, if You can, take this cup from me," right? "Is there another way?" It helps me be vulnerable to say, "God, You know how hard this is for me." To say, "I want to live a life of surrender to You, but I'm terrified," right? Jesus understands that, friends, and we need to know that this morning. You see, living a life of surrender to the Lord doesn't mean that we always want what He wants for us, right? We don't. But you and I have to understand this. We must ultimately come to that place where we surrender, where we say, like Jesus, "Not my will, but Your will be done." It is not easy. But our Savior wrestled with that, and as we wrestle with it, I can tell you He will meet us in those places. I love what that great Scottish Presbyterian Sinclair Ferguson wrote about this scene. He wrote this: "Everything in Jesus longed to escape from this terrible experience seen in its own light." And I would gather some of you can identify with that. But he goes on and he says this: "Yet everything in Jesus also longed to be obedient to the Father. And in that light, he bowed before him, praying, 'Not my will, but your will be done, Father.' So he took the cup." Jesus surrendered to his Father's will, and that surrender took him straight to the cross where he died. Now, you may be thinking for a minute, okay, Robert, if surrender means that I'm going to die, I don't want that, right? I mean, really, Jesus gave all, and he surrendered, and he died? You ever thought about that? But friends, here's the good news. That's not the end of the story. That's the glory of what we're going to celebrate next Sunday. This isn't the end of the story. Death is never the end of the story. You see, through his death came resurrection. And that's the hope, friends, of surrender. That through death comes resurrection. You see, what presented itself as the greatest tragedy of all, this man who had claimed to be Savior died on a cross, and his friends came and took him down, a dead body. What seemed as the greatest tragedy, friends, brought glory, life, and victory through the grave. Do you see that? Here's what I want you to see this morning. The same is true for you and me. As you and I learn to live surrendered lives to the Lord, and I say that purposefully, as we learn to live, right? It doesn't come just like that. It is a process that we are growing in daily. But as we learn to live a surrendered life to the Lord, what we find, no matter what we face in that surrender, on the other side, there is victory and life and resurrection for you and me every day. Amen? While the resurrection happened one day for the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I get to experience the benefits and blessings of it every day that we live. Whatever you might be going through right now, some of you who are in that place where you've surrendered to the Lord and you're saying, "God, get me out of it, please." I want you to know that where you are is not the end of your story. Your story is not over. That's the hope and the glory of the resurrection. That's the hope and glory of learning to surrender to God, because whatever he has before us that may be more difficult than you might ever imagine, on the other side, there is resurrection and life and hope and victory. That's why we walk as people of hope today. That's the struggle, right, of surrender. So what does it look like to begin to live a life of surrendering to the Lord? First, we have to understand this. We need to know who we're surrendering to, right? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Jesus knew who he was surrendering to. Look again at the intimacy of this prayer. He begins it by addressing his Father in this way: "Abba, Father." And those of you who know that term, it's a term of intimacy, of deep intimacy, that Jesus the Son had with his Father. You see, Jesus knew his Father's love. His Father knew his love. And because of that, there was such an intimacy that Jesus was willing to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." So I want to ask you this morning, do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? For some of you this morning, you may be thinking, "I want to know the Father." But it's hard when you've had a father who hasn't been there. Or when you've had a father where there's been a fractured relationship. It's hard to know the intimacy of the Heavenly Father, because we look at the Heavenly Father through broken, fractured glasses, right? And it's hard to see him as he really is. Friends, I want you to know this. Regardless of the relationship you've had with your earthly father, your heavenly Father longs to make himself known in his fullness and in His glory. And what God does for us when we cry out to Him to say, I want to know You, Father, He opens up the beauty of His Word, and He begins to reveal Himself over and over and over again. And it's the big question, right? How do we get to know the Father? Well, I'm not going to get into it, but in John 15, Jesus spoke about abiding in Him, abiding in Christ, abiding in God's Word. If you want to know who the Father is, the most glorious portrait is painted right here, and it's magnificent. And the words that His Word has for us is word of a Father who from the very beginning, when sin entered this world, had a plan of redemption for His people. And if you question the love of the Father, go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus praying that prayer, if possible, let this cup pass from Me, but not My will, but Your will. It was the will of the Father that the Son should drink the cup of God's wrath instead of you and me. You want to talk about love. That God sent His Son into this world for you and me. One of my favorite passages that Paul wrote is in Romans chapter 8. I want you to listen to these words as you begin to think about the love of the Father. He said, if God is for us, who can be against us? If the Father is for you, who can be against you? Right? And he goes on and he says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You want to talk about the love of a Father, friends. Let yourself take this verse and spend the week meditating on it and get alone with God and say, I want to know You more. He who did not spare His own Son and allowed Him to drink the cup of His wrath, how will He not also with Him give us all things? What I want you to also see here before we close is this powerful picture. It's easy to miss. Jesus seemed alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? His followers, His disciples had abandoned Him. They'd fallen asleep. I would have probably done that too. I like to go to bed early. They'd fallen asleep in that most desperate time. And there He was, seemingly all alone in that garden. But can I tell you, He wasn't alone? Can I tell you, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was not alone. You see, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And the Holy Spirit was with Jesus throughout His ministry, enabling Him to do all the miraculous works and healings that He did. And I know the Holy Spirit was with Jesus in that most darkest moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I say that because I want you to know that in your most darkest moment, in that place of surrender, the Holy Spirit is with you. The only way that you and I can say like Jesus, not my will, but Your will be done, is by recognizing there's a greater power in us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to do what humanly you and I cannot do on our own. And so when you come to that place of surrender, that struggle, recognize as you wrestle letting go and truly surrendering whatever it might be to the Lord, call out and remember the presence of the Holy Spirit, the greater power who is in you. I want to end with this. It's a beautiful picture. So Jesus, and you heard this, Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath on that cross so that you and I would be ones who drink the cup of His grace. Do you see that? He drank that cup of God's wrath, all of our sin poured onto Him on the cross. So that when you and I celebrate communion, when we come to this table every time we worship, what we are drinking, friends, is the cup of God's grace. And it is a glorious celebration. Because no longer are we when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer are we people of his wrath, but we are people of the cross. We are people of his grace. And he feeds us, and he nourishes us, and he satisfies us so that we can live as his followers, people living with open hands out, go like this, come on, surrendered to the Lord. You want to know what the posture of a follower of Jesus is? It's this. It's this. Saying, not my will, but your will be done. Friends, this week, as we journey through this most holy week, we call it Holy Week because it's a week that is set aside as different than all the others. It's a week that we set our eyes to the cross, that we allow the weight of Gethsemane, we allow the weight of the crucifixion to so pierce us so that we can come out with Jesus on the other side and celebrate the glory of the resurrection. And so this week, I would challenge you to ask that question, the most difficult of questions. God, where are you calling me to surrender to you? Where are you calling me to surrender? And know that the Holy Spirit is with you and that the glory of God will be revealed. Amen? Father, would you lead us as a people this week? Please guard us from becoming so distracted by the things of this world that we give so much of our affections to, that we can pull back a bit and be still with you. Come, Holy Spirit. As we come with open arms, open hands, come, lead us to the place of surrender so that we can experience the glory of resurrection. Bless this body. Bless us as we go forward. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.